Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's after this week, I wanted to take a different approach in family. I will let everybody come on in a second. But this has been an extremely hectic week. And for the 4th of July, for all of you all who are not Facebook friends with me, let me tell you what normally happens. I usually compose some dissertation about America and how I feel about being an American. And though I love my country, as I've been quoted as saying from the movie Tuskegee Airmen, the difficulty that I face oftentimes isn't how I feel about my country, but how my country feels about me. Or more specifically, how people who look like me are treated by my country. And that is something that is a very difficult pill to swallow. It's a very difficult pill to swallow because I, like the majority of my family, have donned the uniform of one of the distinctive services of this fine nation. And yet, time and again, we are treated second, third, fourth, fifth class citizens. And if you don't believe that, just go back to the occurrences of this week. And as I thought about that, I really thought about the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And you know, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that's just not the damn case. It's not the case. It's not. We see it and have seen it too often that that's not the truth. Liberty and justice are not for all. Liberty and justice are not, should be guaranteed to all. But oftentimes, it's blind when the person whom is seeking it is of color. And I'm specifically talking about black people. I can't begin to fathom how a young man, I'm going to start in Baltimore because I'm here. I cannot begin to fathom how a young man is arrested for whatever the reasons, doesn't matter. He never got his day in court. He never got to see his accuser. He never got to enjoy the right of a speedy trial or a fair trial. He was never heard because he couldn't be heard because he was dead. There were 6 officers around him. Somebody put him in that truck, and he's dead. He didn't kill himself. He did not kill himself. Someone is responsible for this. Someone is responsible for the death of Freddie Gray. But because the someones were all in blue, no one is going to pay for his death. Nobody. Nobody's going to pay for his death. We've saw 3 folks go ahead and walk. One asked for immunity and was granted such. The other, the 2 so far cases have been thrown out because the state couldn't prove their case. The state couldn't prove that they went for a rough ride, so on and so forth. So now we have the 3rd officer on trial. A charge against him has already been dismissed, and more than likely he'll walk as well. That couldn't have been Tyrone. And that's the frustrating part. You know, my sister, love her to death. We went to high school together. Gorgeous young lady. She talks to me the other day. She's like, yo, I want some of this white privilege that I hear folks talking about all the time. And I'm like, yo, the sad thing is you have it and you don't even recognize it. The sad thing is that you don't have to tell your son when he stopped by the police to not do this, that. You don't have to do that. I have to do that with mine. You don't have to when you leave your home at a certain hour at night and a cop gets behind you. If you're not intoxicated, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. I do. There is a difference. There's a huge difference. A huge difference in the way that we live. There are 2 Americas. There are really 3 Americas. They really are. It's the haves, the has-nots, and then it's the others. And black people are in that pool of other. As a whole, there's some that make a good way. There's some that are doing okay for themselves. But as a whole, we're part of the other class. That's what we are. That's what's going on. That's the America that I see. And that's it's frustrating as hell. Knowing the things that I know, being the places I've been, and putting my life on the line time and time again so that I can supposedly enjoy the freedom that everyone else has. And I can't. I will never be that free. I will never be that free. You know, it's a wonderful thing having the first black president in the United States of America, but it changed nothing. The statistics are in. Hate groups have grown. The amount of hate mail this man has received is crazy in comparison to anybody else. The breaches at the warehouse, off the charts, again, in comparison to anybody else. In 2016, we should not be having the conversations that we're having right now about the policing of any citizen in the United States of America. Of any citizen. Any citizen. in the United States of America. Yet we are. We're still stuck on the same shit that we were stuck on and faced with over 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago. How can a cell phone device grow generationally, yet a people refuse to see one another with respect for the individual and the whole? The individual and the whole. And then I'm getting blasted because I cussed out Bishop Jakes. Hell to the yeah, I did. And it didn't post today, as I was trying to post it on Facebook, and I'll just tweet it. But I did the same to Al Sharpton's punk ass. Yes. Don't fucking pray for me. We've been praying for over 500 years. That shit ain't working, dog. We need to do something different. We need to do something different, dog. It's not working. Because your enemy is not on the same plane as you. So your damn prayers are being answered because you're still here. Cool, but it's not changing your condition. This ain't the fucking time for that. This is the time to understand where you are and what is going on. You take that over $1 trillion that we control annually, you move that around, some respect will get put on your name. You control your money. You control your neighborhoods, which gives you control of the political system, which gives you control of the judicial system. That's how this shit works. I didn't need Hidden Colors to show me that. I already knew. But it is in Hidden Colors. Shouts out to the producers of that and the filmmakers. Control your money. So let's stop holding prayer vigils and start holding lines. Take all your parishioners to the first black-owned bank that you see and have them start moving their accounts from Wells Fargo, who profited from slavery, Bank of America, who profited from slavery, and put their damn money with somebody that looked like them. The banking industry has a very strong group in D.C. that works on their behalf. Very strong. And they will start petitioning members of Congress to make change. Instantaneously. But no, we want to just stand around and sing "We Will Overcome." That shit ain't happening. It's not happening. Not at all. We have to change our approach. Without a doubt. And until we understand that, we are going to be stuck in the same condition. So this week, Alton Sterling, if you've been underneath a damn rock, the end-all be-all is this 37-year-old man was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Do you hear me? Great city. Great city. It is nestled right outside of New Orleans. It's nice. It's a very nice spot to be in. And well, I thought it was until this shit that happened this week. But that's another story for another time. So anyhow, this young man is outside trying to make some money. He's trying to provide for his family. He's not selling drugs. He's not selling cigarettes. He's selling CDs. Don't know what's on the CDs, don't give a damn. But someone called and said that he threatened them with and brandished a gun. So the police respond. He's in the parking lot of a local store, like a 7-Eleven, Triple S Food Mart. Owner didn't have any problems. The owner didn't call. Later on, the owner says, you know, that guy was my friend. He was a good guy. The police were, they escalated it too far. I'm jumping around. I'm sorry. Anyhow, two officers showed up. They have a conversation with Mr. Sterling. During the course of the conversation, they take Mr. Sterling down to the ground. One officer is on his back and his head. The other officer is on his arm. The gun that he had later on was found in his pocket. While on the ground, he shot multiple times in the back. Multiple times in the back. He's on the ground. He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't trying to lift up. He just asked a simple question. Why are you all trying to arrest me? What did I do? What did I do? Is that not a reasonable question by a reasonable person? If a police approach you, isn't the first thing you want to know, well, what did I do? Right? A child, when they do something wrong, what did I do? What did I do was wrong? My husband to a wife, because that's normally how it goes. What did I do? Is that not a reasonable question? Family, if you've called in, I'm sorry, but the our web portal is acting up this morning. I don't know what the heck is going on with it, so we're fighting to get that up. So we're not ignoring you. We're fighting to get that up and ready. So just bear with us shortly, please. So he shot, dies on the scene. Officers Blaine Soleimani and Howie Lake II are the officers that were on scene. Both of them are 28 years old. Both of them have less than 5 years on the force. Both of them are now on paid administrative leave. Haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen this before? Immediately, the DOJ and the FBI were contacted, and they were handed over the case. Now, we've seen this before as well. And there's some problems here. And I'll speak to the problems and try to connect the dots shortly, because there was a great article on CNN by one of their contributors that I stuck out to me. And it's just playing in my head. It's boom. Louisiana, by the way, is an open carry state. Minnesota, another open carry state. Philando Castile, 32 years old, was in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, right outside of Minneapolis. He's driving in the car, pulled over for a busted taillight. Officer pulls him over, comes up to the car. One officer goes to the driver's side. Other officer goes to the passenger side. Mr. Castile, according to his girlfriend, whom live broadcast the aftermath of the traffic stop on Facebook, says clearly and calmly that Mr. Castile told the Officer Yanez, that he had a weapon. He was licensed to carry and he had a weapon. The officer instructed him to go get his license and registration. He said, okay. Mr. Castile said, okay, but sir, I want to let you know, I'm licensed to carry. I have a weapon on me. My license and registration are in my wallet. Get your license and registration. Okay. So he went to reach for his wallet, The officer shot him multiple times in the arm and in the chest. Now, as the girlfriend continued to live broadcast, she spoke calmly to the officer and pleaded with the officer for mercy, basically. You know, she was pleading to say, like, she, oh my God, please don't let my boyfriend die. Please don't let my boyfriend die. Please don't let my boyfriend die. The entire time, in the back seat sat her 4-year-old daughter. And the daughter, very calm as well, she didn't freak out. As a mom was getting upset, she says, "Mommy, I'm here with you. It's okay. I'm here with you." No child should have to see that. No child should be a part of that. Mr. Sterling's 15-year-old son on national television crying because he will never see his father again. No child should think of a peace officer. Again, peace officer. Police are supposed to serve and protect. They're supposed to be peace officers as an enemy or a threat on site. They should not think about you as an enemy or a threat on site. However, again, if you're in my community, this is how you see them too often. Because too often, if you're in my community, you don't survive encounters with them. So here we are, childrenless fathers whom may go, well, let's not put that out there. I'm not going to put that out there. Let's pray for them. See, there's where your prayer is needed. This is where your prayer can do some damn good. Let's pray for them. Let's cover them and hope that their lives will be as normal as possible given the circumstances, meaning they grow up to be upstanding citizens. They, you know, have families. They can provide for themselves. And then they turn around and help bring about some change that didn't happen or wasn't in place on during this week. How about that? The officer screams out on the video, "I told him not to reach for it. I told him not to reach for it." Ms. Reynolds, Diamond Reynolds, responds, "You told him to get his license and registration. He told you that he was reaching for his wallet." What got me going this week, in addition to those things, was the aftermath. See, before Dallas, and we'll get to Dallas, before Dallas happened, a couple of people said some things that have been overdue. Number one, the governor of Minnesota, Mark Dayton. Mark Dayton comes on and says, "If these folks were white, I don't think we would be here right now. I think they would have survived this encounter." That's overdue. That's overdue. Well overdue. We got to fix this. And we can't fix it by continuously ignoring it. It's not going to go away. It's getting worse. That was an emboldened statement by him. He's a Democratic governor, Democratic state. Remember, Minnesota's gone either way. Jesse Ventura was the governor of Minnesota before. But this, he laid it out. He laid it out. President Obama lands. First thing he does is has to stand in front of cameras to say directly, these are not insulated. These are not isolated incidents. These are not one-offs. there's a distinct portion of our populace that does not earn, that does not enjoy the same liberties that others do. We need to fix that. We can do better. We need to do better. Of all people, Newt Gingrich comes out and makes a powerful statement about what it means to be black. And then Newt Gingrich ain't black worth shit. But Newt damn sure came with the fire. He damn sure came with the fire and said that white folk will never understand or know what it is to be black in America, the struggles of it. They won't understand it. They won't get it. Never going to get it. Newt Gingrich. This is the dude that was ahead. He was the House Speaker when mandatory minimums were put in place. That was his push. Pushing back against gun control. That was his push. Welfare to work. His push. Newt Gingrich, potential vice president nominee for Donald Trump. Notice how the Don has been quiet the past couple of days? Notice? He said nothing. He's been a recluse. Until Dallas happened. Multiple people shot. 12 police officers in total. Five of whom later passed away. They lost their lives. Two civilians shot, all from Micah Johnson, allegedly. And I say that because, you know, folk got a name, and the first thing they did was they hit the bricks. Folk got a name, and they started Googling and tweeting and searching, and they didn't find Micah Johnson. Micah Johnson was supposedly blown up by a robot. So there's no pieces of Micah Johnson left, but his ID was around. He wasn't shot and killed, body, here it is, blown up by a robot. Please remember, Dallas is the place of magic bullets. This is where JFK got assassinated, right? A lot of ill shit happens in Dallas. But this came as a shift. Let me back up. I'm sorry. That's no disrespect to these officers that lost their lives. No, not at all. That was not a shot at them. Not a shot at them at all. But this Micah Johnson person, right? Where did he come from? That's a shot at that. That sounds fishy to me. Because the first report, if you remember, if you were watching the news like I was, you're flipping between Fox News and Fox, you're CNN, MSNBC, HLN, all them damn, there were multiple shooters. They fled in a BMW. There was a woman with them. So it goes from all these theorems and theories down to just one person. How could this one person get as many shots off that quickly? Right? Now, these are the questions that are being asked now. Actually, by the media. I heard some this morning when I was getting ready. It's amazing how this one person could have gotten as many shots off as accurately, as quickly as Micah Johnson is reported to have done. But Dallas was a narrative changer, you see. As I'm driving in today, I see a billboard for #Dallas. That billboard did not exist for Alton Sterling. that billboard did not exist for Philando Castile. So do black lives really matter? Do black lives really matter? This is the crap that I struggle with daily. I have black sons. I got three of them. What do I tell them? How do I protect them? I can't even protect me. I can't protect me. If there's injustice, some injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. This is America's problem, family. Until America deals with her racial issues, she will never be great. She will never be great. There's no way of doing it. This is it can't be part and parcel. It doesn't exist. It's impossible to do. It is totally impossible to do. You can't be great yet continuously step on the necks of a quarter of your population. A 12th, a 16th, it doesn't freaking matter. You can't do it. Hence the Trump issue. While this cat is talking all this jazz about building a wall, so on and so forth, how do you expect greatness when you are excluding or telling a certain sector of folks all good for me and mine, but not for you and yours? That's not greatness. That's exceptionalism. And not in a magnificent way. Not at all. How do you do that? How is that possible? My thoughts, my prayers are with everyone affected by this disease called racism and white supremacy. Everyone affected by this disease called racism and white supremacy. It makes monsters out of good people. It makes otherwise upstanding folk do some very questionable things. It has people time and again morally bankrupting themselves. I thought about my time in the military, and I thought about how in the military we have this thing called a UCMJ, Universal Code of Military Justice. And I'm thinking to myself, why do the police not have the same thing? Why are there no checks against these jokers like there are on a service member? If they're saying we need to militarize because it's a war zone out here, we need to protect ourselves, yada, yada. Okay, well, there are rules for war. There are actually rules. Medical personnel, non-combatants, you know, if you bomb a hospital or destroy a hospital, shoot at a hospital, yada, yada, yada. That's against the Geneva Convention. That's a no-no. That's considered a war crime. If you rape folks under your care, that's a war crime. You know, all these things. So if you say it's a war, okay, let's fucking, okay, I give you that. It's a war. But there are rules to that shit that we have to follow. And if you want to be a soldier in this war, which you've chosen to do because of your profession, then you have to follow the rules. Article 893, Section 93, cruelty and maltreatment. Any person subject to this chapter who is guilty of cruelty toward it or oppression or maltreatment of any person subject to his orders. Guess what, dog? Freddie Gray, all y'all asses going to jail. That's it. You are guilty of oppression and or maltreatment. That man died. That's maltreatment. You going to jail. It's that simple. Done. That case is done. The case is over. It's easy. It's easy. Article 897, Section 97, unlawful detention. You just pulling me over just for the hell of it to get your jollies? That's unlawful detention. Your ass is going to jail. Thank you very much. What's your badge number? Your ass is going to jail. Article 907, Section 107, false official statements. You planting drugs on me? You lied and said I ran that red light just so you can pull me over? Your ass is going to jail. Article 918, Section 118, murder. Alton Sterling. Freddie Gray. Sandra Bland. Manslaughter. Can I get you for manslaughter? Murder? We'll get you for manslaughter. That's fine. Article 119. I'm sorry. Article 919. Section 119. Death or injury of an unborn child. Article 919, Section 119 alpha. Carnal knowledge or rape. Remember that Joker out in the Midwest a couple of months ago? I think he was in Kansas, I believe. Or was he in Missouri? The one that was raping all the women that he pulled over and stuff. He was an officer. He was a police officer. He's done. There you go. Extortion. Do we really need to go into that? Article 927, Section 127. Assault. The young lady beat down on the California freeway. For all the world to see, assault, perjury, 931, Section 131, general article. I love the general article. The general article is the catch-all, be-all, meaning it's a love-hate affair with me, to be honest with you. And I love it because I hate it, to be honest with you. For any damn reason we want to get your ass, we're going to hit you with a general article. And my favorite, my absolute favorite, 933, Section 133, conduct unbecoming an officer. Period. Conduct unbecoming an officer. That could be anything that you do or do not do. But I want to talk about Laura Coates and her article on CNN. Laura Coates, if you're not familiar, is a legal analyst and contributor to CNN News. She's a former assistant U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. She also worked at the DOJ in the Civil Rights Division as a trial attorney. Now, she spoke, and I'm cutting this down a whole damn lot, but she spoke on the need for Congress to step in and change the rules for police officers. Because what you don't understand, what you may not know, is they live by a different set of rules than most folks. The set of rules for the police are they're judged by whether he or she acted as another reasonable officer would in the same position. There's no regard to common sense with this. And this was set by a Supreme Court precedent of difference, where the Supreme Court says, well, there's a difference between an officer again, somewhat protective of the peace and the normal citizens. Because normal citizens, as you well know, you go to trial. Everything that you do is reasonable doubt of a reasonable person. So that premise is, would an ordinary person perceive things as you did and then act the same way that you acted, right? It falls under the common sense thread. Though we all know there's no such damn thing as common sense because we're all different. We have different exposures, different experiences, so on and so forth, which make up our sense of sense, you know. So there's no such thing as common sense, but that's all right. So her thing is Congress can come in and change that standard to one that is more objective, one that would put offices in a similar category as the general public, which is, you know, did you behave the same way a reasonable person would under those circumstances? Because too often a gun is coming out when a taser could be used as well. Too often body cameras are falling off or functioning, so on and so forth, right? Hence the reason I said crack the blue shield. That's the hashtag that I started recently, crack the blue shield. Something needs to be done. Folk need to understand that they just can't treat citizenry like a piece of shit just because they have a badge and a gun. This look, huge NWA fan and fanatic. They were talking about this back in the 80s. Before them, you know, The Message talked about this. 82, 83, The Message came out. Melly Mel and them. You know, come on, y'all. This isn't new nor news. You've heard me say that. There's nothing new nor news. This shit is not new. But it has to stop. It needs to stop. Somebody needs to have the balls to say, let's stop the Benghazi investigation. Let's stop the email investigation. Let's protect our citizens. Let's protect our number one goal is to protect our citizens. Our number one reason for existing is to protect our citizens. If you're not doing that, you are failing. And I implore each and every one of y'all asses, vote. If them motherfuckers aren't standing up for you, vote their asses out. And put the next person on notice. If you don't stand up for us, we will vote your ass out too. You will not sit here for 8 years. You will not sit here for 6 years. You will not sit here for 12 years. You will not. We will vote your ass out. And we are not afraid to referendum your ass to get a special election to vote your ass out. So justice and the FBI have a full plate. Not only are they still dealing with the Clinton email scandal, though the FBI closed the door on that over the weekend, justice reopened it. They reopened it to, I guess, under pressure for no, I'm sorry, that's not true. Justice didn't reopen it. Department of State reopened it. That's who did. They did. They reopened their investigation. But Justice closed it as well. They recommended no charges be brought up against Secretary Clinton. Congress, however, I'm thinking about those jokes because I'm listening to Joe Madison early in the week, and he was speaking to the fact that it's been known for decades now that the KKK's first order of business was to get their members in place of police departments, right? Because they felt and they understood that the police were all powerful. I mean, let's be honest. Your average police officer is more powerful than anyone else that you encounter in a day's time. They can lock you up. They can detain you. They can kill you. They can take money out your pocket by writing you a ticket or whatever, right? They can impound your car. They can do whatever they want to do. The KKK understood this, so they instructed their members to go out and get in law enforcement. So his point was, Congress needs to investigate this. They won't do that. Why would they do that? That would only serve to take money out of their pocket. The prison industrial complex needs prisoners. Private prisons need prisoners. You have to give them labor. That's how they make money. You got to fill the beds, dog. It's a business. They're not going to do it for another reason. Either their pappy, their grandpappy, their great-grandpappy, an uncle, some damn body, is a member of the KKK. Not all. Not all. I would just say most. I would just say most. I would. But they could implement laws of engagement, the articles of engagement, just like I did, just like I laid out that the military has to abide by these. Police can. They can lay that out. They can change the law to say that the reasonable doubt needs to be watered down to where it's of a reasonable person, not just an officer. And yes, that's going to screw some of the great ones. It is. It is. Because some great folks, some good folks, are going to make some bad decisions, and it's going to hurt them. You know, split-second decision, they do something, it's very bad, where, you know, it's going to hurt them. It is going to hurt them. But I would prefer their asses to be hurting a lot than my son dead and gone to protect them. Or your son dead and gone. Or your nephew. Or your niece. Don't tell me to calm down. I got too much damn skin in this game. You can be calm because the shit doesn't affect you. You can be calm because you don't understand what the hell we're going through. You cannot wrong me and then try to control my response to your wronging of me. Who does that? What criminal commits a crime and then goes in the court and says, oh, yo, check this out. I know I did that shit, right? I know you got it on tape. So I'm not here to argue with that. But I got something to do in about 6 months. So let's say I just do 3 on this right here. And then that'd be about it. Who does that? What damn sense does that make? No, I will not be calm. No, I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then you idiots running around here, well, what about black-on-black crime? 85% of white folks kill white folks. Have we ever heard the term white-on-white crime? No. Why? Because you are never going to hear that term. Why? Why? Because black-on-black crime makes people scared. So with white-on-white crime. We can't have two people scared. We can only have one. Guess what, niggas? Y'all drew the shortest straw. You're it. Tag. That's what the system tells us. That's what the system tells us. There always has to be a bad guy. Guess what? Y'all the bad guy. We can't be the bad guy. We got to be the good guy. It's our game. It's our country. You know it because we stole it. You are already here. You helped us get here. You gave us the map. We got here. The natives were here. We stole it from them. The little bit you had, we just let you die off. Then we stole it from your heirs. Y'all kill me, dog. Kill me. Absolutely kill me. I don't. Look. Kumbaya is cool. I get along with almost anybody and everybody. Folk know that. I have friends all across the globe, throughout the nation. They run short, tall, fat, skinny, light bright, all the way white to purple. If you don't understand what purple is, that's a black that's so damn black that you just call them purple. Some call them blue black. That's blacker than a motherfucker. I'm just saying, that's blacker than a motherfucker. When you purple or you blue black, you blacker than a motherfucker. You got some melanin for real. Got them all. Love and respect every last one of them. My man Jeff was supposed to be on the show today. He had something that came up, so he had to dip out. You know, white cat, respect his opinion. We differ, but I respect his opinion. I was more than happy when he called me and said, yo, I want to be on the show today. I was like, oh, absolutely. You called me before I called you, because I was damn sure about to call you. He was like, yeah, I figured as much. I figured I'd beat you to the punch. I already know what the topic's going to be about. How did you guess? What is it going to take for folks to understand that we are not fighting fair? There is a system in place to prevent us from fighting fair. There are mechanisms in place to prevent us from fighting fair. Big ups to Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo took a stance that I thought would have come from Teddy Bridgewater or any member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins. But I really thought Adrian Peterson or Teddy Bridgewater would have been the first to really jump on this, because we're getting closer to football season. You dig? So I'm disappointed that they didn't, to be totally honest with you. I have lost a lot of respect for both of them. Because this could have been their son. This could have been their cousin. This could have been their brother. Either of these men could have been their cousin, uncle, brother, best friend. Either of these men. This is not the time to fucking cut and hide. Hell, Snoop put down the weed to come out. Snoop put it down. Snoop went across the street, said, look, here's my rag. I know it's blue. Fuck that. They out here hunting us. Let's get together. Let's go see these folks. Let these folks know that we matter. Come on, cuz. Let's do this. He and the game got folks together, red, blue, black, yellow. Those are also gang colors, folks. And went down there and saw them folk. Talking to me. So, oh, Wake up, people. Wake up. Get the hell off your knees and wake up. They expect you to do to go to church on Sunday and pray and then go home. That's what they expect you to do. Do something different. Do something different. It's the summertime. It's nice outside. Reverend Thomas, TD, Reed, have church at your elected officials' homes. Most folks in the congregation got some chairs. If they don't, rent some. Set your asses up in front of their house and let them folks know that you matter and your congregation matters. If y'all ain't talking about this shit on Sunday and putting together an action plan on Sunday, and coming to Sunday with an action plan, then you are wasting your fucking time going to see these people every Sunday because they're doing nothing for you. They're doing nothing for you but leading your ass to slaughter. That's it. That's it. They're leading your ass to slaughter. God knows my damn heart, but I'm not going to live in hell on earth. I'm not going to wait to get my damn heaven. Fuck that. I want it now. I deserve it now. I deserve peace. I deserve to be able to go out and not live in fear. I deserve freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness just like any damn body else does. And if you don't like that, if you don't understand that, I understand. I get it. I really do. Everybody is not going to come to the same conclusion at the same time. I understand that. I respect that. But move the hell out of my way because I'm coming through. Family, we could not overcome our technical difficulties, though we tried and tried and tried and tried. I apologize to you for that because I damn sure know you all had a lot to say. And that's actually gonna push this whole thing out into next week. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. It's worth our time. Gives me some time to reach out to some folks, to some additional folks. Hold on. Looks like we got a little magic happening. Hold on now. Hold on now. Let's see who's here. If anyone is still here, because I know I've been talking a long time and folks weren't able to get in. So let's see what's crack-a-lacking. Cousin. Yo. I got everybody. Nobody's muted. Everybody, come on in. What's buzzing, cousin?
What's going on?
Brother Thomas Barry, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Outstanding. OG Gas, is that you? All right, I got somebody else up. I don't know who the heck that is, but it's all good in the hood. I know you all been listening to me rant and rave for a good old minute, so I'm going to shut the hell up. Thomas, you're on the ground. You're right there in Minnesota. Come on, man. Talk to us, man.
I'm heading to the governor's mansion a little bit later on today. Jesse Jackson was here earlier. My wife just posted something on my wall saying, from the local news, saying that the brother was pulled over 86 times in the past year by the police. Most of his citations were dismissed. So it looks like they were targeting this brother the entire time. You know, we have to – I like everything that you said, and I feel like your ranting was right on point. I do think we need to do something different, including here. We were here last year in Minnesota with Jamal Clark and the police who shot him, and I killed that brother. So we have to do a lot more, and I just want to say this. Last year, a lot of our so-called community leaders, including Keith Ellison, had turned on the folks, had made a deal with the police department to get folks from protesting in front of the police precinct. So we have to really stop with the Messiah complex with black folks. You know, your pastor, your elected official, they're just people just like you. You have just as much say-so as they do. And, you know, we do have a right to congregate, to protest, but we also have a right to change these things, not just keep complaining about them. So we'll be back at the same spot. The sad thing about this shooting here, brother, as you know, and everyone around the world saw, was that it was a 4-year-old child that was in the back. His brother was following the law to the T. He was asked to get his identification, and he was shot doing so. I want people to remember last year, I believe it was either in Texas or Louisiana, we had a similar situation where a black man was told to get his ID by the cops, and when he went and got it, he got shot again. He got shot also. That cop got off. So these are things that we have to look at when they come in and they're telling you that the federal government is going to do an investigation. All the federal government can charge these cops with is violating your civil rights. They can't charge them for murder. And that's something that we really have to look into. We have to make sure that we're holding not only the cops accountable, but the prosecutors, the judges, and last but not least, the white jurist, who gets a pass in a lot of these things. The jury of the peers are normally white folks most of the time. And Brother Lee, as you see, most of the time these cops are getting off. The only crime that Phil had, as well as the brother in Louisiana, was that they were black. And my last point is the brother inside of Texas, we don't owe any we don't owe any parts of what he did. That brother was just fed up. He was fed up with the system. He was fed up with the lack of justice. And rightfully, wrongfully, however you look at it, he took the law in his own hands because he felt like the law wasn't going to give him justice. Now, we could stop things like that happening by the courts doing their job, by the jurors doing their job. You can't tell black people don't look at police as being wrong when the police are being charged with these crimes. Time and time again, we see them getting off. Time and time again, there's some kind of simple loophole that's really not a loophole. And as a black man in America, I'm tired.
You know, you made a good point, brother. And another point that was made up, but it was brought up by Roland Martin was, and I know it's something that you said, that's something that you haven't said in your commentary just now, was when we're talking about this situation, you know, people are saying that it's not a race thing. It's a one-sided race thing, because when we say police, we're not saying white police. This is a race issue involving the relationship between police officers and the black community. In the Freddie Gray case, it was white police officers and black police officers. So people need to really understand what the problem is before we continue to talk about why it's not a race issue. How police officers approach black folk is always different compared to how they approach white folk. And it's all police officers in general. It's been proven. And now somebody made a point about, well, it's been more white people shot by police officers in this country. That's because of population. Population makes it seem like the percentages of white people is greater, but white people are the majority still. So
when you're talking about the issue is the relationship between police officers and African Americans. It's not something that is new, but it's something that's boiled over the last 10 years. And for us to sit back and not be able to protest, not be able to speak out, you know, to speak out about it, is really the total opposite of what our country is supposed to be based upon. Now, Levon, earlier today you said something about us being one nation under God. Fortunately for our country, we have different gods now that people serve. You know, we have different higher powers that people serve, and that's another issue. I sit here with my son, you know, Levon, you know, I just celebrated my kids being here for the summertime, and I had to go out to the store yesterday, and I'm watching CNN all daggone day, and my son is glued to the TV with me, and he's like, "Dad, I don't want you to go," and I thought he was just putting on, you know, and he was like, "No, Dad, I really don't want you to go." I was like, "Why not? I'm going to the store." And he was like, "Well, Dad, the other person might have been going to the store." And he's dead now. I don't want that to happen. How do I explain to my 11-year-old son that that won't happen to me? And I'm not going to lie to you. I was scared, man. I was like, damn, like, he's right. You know what I'm saying? I really might, you know what I'm saying, get blasted by going to the freaking CEFCO. Like, that's not something that white people have to deal with, man. And I heard you touch on that earlier today when you were talking about one of your classmates. And it's the truth. Your white privilege is something that you wake up for, and it's something that's unconsciously given to you. You don't want to. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to recognize it, but it's there.
Right.
I have to proceed with caution in every aspect of my life, even prior to all the shootings, man. African Americans, we always have to think differently. We always have to think 10 steps ahead of, you know, white people, and even our own race. We had to think 10 steps ahead of and not say the wrong things and not be too loud, because if we're too loud, then we're viewed as being ghetto and ignorant, and, you know, black women can't dress a certain way because they looked at us being hoes and sluts. Even in a professional environment, a white person could wear a low cleaver shirt, a black person wear it, then, you know, they're hoes, they're freaks. But if a white woman wear a low cut shirt, then she looks gorgeous. She's awesome. She's amazing.
Those double standards are real. You know, the sad part about it all is with the double standards that we see is that black people help reinforce it. I need to say this real quick.
Oh yeah.
Black people help reinforce this real quick. I was just in a group with some black educators across the country. My brother put in a story about how he was in a store. White manager of the store was talking to him and another brother, and they were laughing at these two black youth. Well, she was laughing at the two black youth, saying that, "Ha, they think that I'm going to give them a job with them dressed like that." Right. So the brother said, he looked down, saw what they had on. They just pretty much had on casual teen clothes, where if you're not going to a job interview and you're just picking up applications, it should be okay for you to dress how you want to dress until it's time to get a, you know, until it's time for you to get an interview, right? She already had her little white mind that she was not going to interview them young brothers, and she joked about it with these brothers. Now, he said he went out and he chased the young brothers outside, and he talked to them about how they need a dress for an interview. And he took them around the store, and he showed them clothes that they should pick out. And I'm thinking to myself while I'm reading this, saying, well, man, she was profiling these young cats because she hasn't even talked to them to even understand, you know, were they qualified for the job? Were they just on their way to go play some basketball, play football, play baseball? You know what I'm saying? What were they on their way to be dressing like that? You don't know. You know, and that's the thing. I feel like we reinforce so many of the stereotypes that white folks have for us, and it's a slave mentality. A lot of us just don't get it. We're still slaves. We're still, every day of our life, we're still trying to bend our will to what white folks want us to do. And as we've seen in the case of these two brothers, and Sister Sandra Bland, it does not matter what we do, what we say, how we say it. It's just some white folks out here that just hate us. And no matter what you look like, no matter what education you have, no matter what faith you have, if they get a chance to catch you behind that barrel, they get a chance to hang you on a tree, we are going to do it. And they don't give a rat's ass on how you feel about yourself and how the hell you feel about them.
You know, and it's crazy because, I was in class a couple of months ago, and I'm sitting next to this white guy, tatted up, you know, full sleeves on his arm, you know, tattoo sleeves on his arm and everything. Real ignorant, kind of disrespectful, arrogant, you know, but he was the coolest person in the class. Coolest person. Yeah.
OG Gas.
Yeah, man, I had to drop off for a little bit.
It's all good. It's all good. It was crazy on our end too. So I want you to get your thoughts in because I was ranting for a while.
Yeah, I know you went kind of long. I was like, hey, man, you ain't gonna leave nothing for us to talk about.
Well, I mean,
hey,
so,
you know what? Something remarkable happened yesterday. Newt Gingrich. Because up until yesterday, okay, white America just kind of stood back and said, okay, you know what, there's no white privilege here. There's no white privilege. You know, there's no racism. But yesterday, Newt Gingrich confirmed that they knew. He confirmed it. And I don't know if he thought that up or he had a speech writer that wrote that. And actually, I'm not sure today when he got out of bed that he's aware of what he actually did. Yep. He basically confirmed that they know.
And, you know, I feel the same way because you're absolutely right. He did something that no one in government has yet to do, which is admit that race is a huge issue, and it's one that we looked over time and again versus something that we put the time and the work into to fix so that we wouldn't have instances like this occurring again. Now, to me, he really threw the gauntlet down toward Ryan because him being a former Speaker of the House is speaking at a time in which the Speaker of the House, the current Speaker of the House, is also a Republican and has yet to endorse the respective Republican nominee, and he's like, yo, I've already said that this is an issue. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah.
That
was
huge. And I agree with you. I don't think that he's actually – I don't know if that was prepared or he actually thought about how big that was, but that was major, man. That was a major statement from such a high. I mean, you know, you talking about this cat is third in line from the in that position. He's third in line for the presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, really? He can say such a thing, and he's in line to potentially be the VP nominee for Donald Trump. Yet none of you all can say anything about this. We need to fix this, man. We really need to fix this.
And you know, and I'm sure white America is going to try to act like they didn't hear him say that. And on the other side of the coin, most of black America probably not aware that he did say it.
But I mean, I really wanted to get your input. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
What?
So I was saying,
I really wanted to get you
for us here in America.
Hey.
It's like we're so busy caught up in that paradigm that they have created for us here in America. It's like we're not paying attention to actually what's actually going on from day to day in America. Issues that affect us.
Right.
Where we're spending our money. Because you can best believe white America is watching us closely from sports, politics, entertainment, they're watching everything that we do. And it scares them because they see the potential that we don't see. That scares them.
And we don't understand our power. I mean, I spoke to when Carmelo spoke up. You know, had these jokers collectively, and it doesn't have to be all of them, but the stars, had the stars collectively decided to either get sick or stay at home, you know what I'm saying, until someone said something and started doing something, then that would bring about change. That would, you're talking about they're millionaires, okay, but the people that pay them have to make more money than them, right? So you're talking about millionaires starting to hit the pockets of billionaires. So, you know, like, yo, check it out. I'm sick until you start calling your boy, who is the governor or the senator of the state, and have that motherfucker put forth some legislation to make change. I'm sick. I'm sorry, dog. I'm sick.
Yeah.
I got bad migraines.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want me to say, I'm saying it. I'm sick. You know what I'm saying? So you do that across the spectrum, basketball, football, baseball. You do that across the spectrum, then you got your sponsors starting to be like, hold on now. What's going on? No one's buying our products because your players aren't showing up. You know, you got your arena folks talking about, hold on now. You still got to pay us no matter if people show up or not. What's going on? You know, something's going to change extremely quickly. Extremely quick.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But
a drop in their sales report will definitely get their attention. And that's
look,
what
man,
you know what it is.
Go ahead,
Cousin. Go ahead,
say that, right? It's one thing to say that. You know, that, you know, I appreciate Carmelo putting that out there. But it's empty if it doesn't happen, right? But I think it's important for people to realize that the reason why we're saying this today and saying that, you know, that athletes really had that kind of platform to do it, is because when you're talking about lobbyists, when you're talking about special interest groups, when you're talking about these people with money with a B, like I always like to call it, they're in the bed with these franchises. They're in the bed with these different athletic companies. Somebody on Capitol Hill is cool with somebody that owns that works with Nike. Somebody on Capitol Hill is cool with the owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. You know, somebody on Capitol Hill is cool with one of the owners or the majority owners of the freaking New York Yankees. Somebody knows somebody knows somebody, and they all in bed with each other. They all making business deals with each other. So this is how and why athletes can be impactful, and not even just athletes. Any kind of entertainment, any kind of entertainer can be impactful in this movement because the people who are paying them are in the bed with politicians, you know, all types of, you know, people in government, and they can make some kind of noise. You hurt their pockets, like you said, my man. You hurt their pockets, you will definitely see some change. They will,
hey,
go ahead.
We need to gain control. We need to gain control of that $1 trillion. That's what we need.
Can I point this out, though? Take Chicago, for instance. You got Oprah Winfrey. Michael Jordan lived there once upon a time. We got Louis Farrakhan, and we got over, I want to say, 100 black millionaires. These black millionaires, they could have been done something for our people. Our biggest issue as a people is our mentality. We can boycott, but are we going to reinvest? And that's the biggest thing with us as a people. Like, we don't reinvest. We always think that the white man's ice is colder. You can tell that because everything that we do, we try to figure out how to divide ourselves more, and whether it's our frats, whether it's our soros, whether it's our units in the military, whether it's gangs, whether it's sports, whatever it is. Like, yo, black folks, we love to be divided because that's all they've taught us is how to divide ourselves. So when you see all these black millionaires and billionaires, right, Oprah goes build a school inside of Africa, but you're right in the heart of Chicago where they just have 50-some-odd schools shut down. What are you doing for those kids there? How come we don't have a push on that? Barack Obama is from Chicago. Here's my thing about black folks and the president. We love protecting the president. The president does not have a taste in his mouth to protect us. And we have to be honest about that. We got to get out of this false love for people who don't do anything for us. Like, we love Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan ain't done nothing for us. So, to me, I feel like if we're going to do something as a people, the first thing we need to do is, if any of you brothers got a business, the people in y'all communities, the family members that you know need to be investing in what you do. We can't be just saying we're mad at the police because Walmart is in Texas putting up signs saying that they fully support the police. Well, that's cool, but were you fully supporting the black folks who've been gunned down in your city before the police got shot? Did you put up any of those signs? The people that you're paying minimum wage to work at your store 24 hours a day? See, that's the kind of stuff that we need to start pointing out. That's why we need to start saying, hey, if you're an entertainer, if you're an athlete, yo, if you don't speak up like Carmelo, we're not going to support your brand. We don't give a goddamn about who you go to in free agency. How do you support us? Because when things get bad like OJ, right, we step up. You're going to get your white woman. You're going to get your 50 white women, right? But we always step up for our people. We got to start learning how to do these things when we're not in a bind, when we're not in the crux. Last thing, Jay-Z said this. Jay-Z said, you can tell how a person feels about you not when they're down, based on moving up. It's easy for us to show this love and compassion for each other during times of crisis. But when there is no crisis, how do we deal with each other? Because normally it seems like we go into our pools and we go back to giving white folks what they want. It's been crisis when we want to get together. We need to change that mentality.
That's definitely a true statement, but the sad thing about it is that us having this conversation, it probably won't extend further than us and the listeners that we have, and it won't happen because people are afraid. I mean, that's a lonely life, man. It's a lonely life to stand up and speak out against injustice. You know, especially acting on it. And protesting is effective to a minimum. Again, if you're not actually invoking change, if you're not actually going out there and making it happen, it all fizzles away. Businesses will wait you out. If you protest, they'll wait you out. You can't protest every day for 365 days a year.
You're
for
right.
5 to 10 years, you're not going to do it. So they will wait you out. The real impact comes from the constant grinding on making changes. My partner and I, we're involved in mentoring youth, and that's one of our things is that, you know, we're about making the changes. We're about being the problem, being the solution, not talking about it. We all know what the damn issues are. All we got to keep having roundtable discussions about what the issues are. We all know what the damn issues are. So today should be our last meeting. Tomorrow we should go into, you know, looking at resources to build the schools, going to the police forums and joining some kind of committee to actually vote on rules and regulations that are going to help govern police officers. Actually going out there and running for some kind of political office, even if it's freaking county clerk. You know, we got to start doing these things, putting ourselves in these positions to actually make the change. Fuck talking about it. Because talking only gets you so damn far.
I want to say this, and OG, I want to get your last comments because I know you're in the car driving, and let's get what you got to say out of the way, and I got to dip pretty soon. So, did you want to add anything else before we go?
Yeah, you know, dating back to slavery, everything that happened to us or happened to our ancestors is now embedded in our genetics, it's embedded in our DNA now. So that's being passed on from generation to generation. So basically, you're looking at all of us are suffering from some form of PTSD, or traumatic event. We're all suffering from that, and it's embedded in us. Okay, white America know that we are so divided and disjointed that they feel that we are never really organized. Okay, like my man said, okay, it's okay to talk about it, but actually start plugging away every day to make it happen, that's difficult for us.
Yeah, but we definitely got it. But no, go ahead.
Basically, they turned us into a race of haters. That's what they basically turned us into. Because as soon as one of us starts stepping up or doing a little bit better, there's always somebody else looking like, yeah, well, you know what? You think you're better than the rest of us.
Right. Gotcha. You know, thank you, brother. Thank you for your comment. Brother Barry, you got anything to add before we get out of here?
Beginning of August, we're going to be tackling these issues every day. It's going to be black media. So definitely we'll have podcasts, things like that. So I just want to thank all the people out there listening to your show today, because I feel like shows like this is what helps things get started. It might spark the brain of some youngster who might get a chance to listen to us. So, brother, I appreciate you doing this show. The other thing I would say is, if you're black in America, the only thing we got is each other. We put our faith in a lot of people. And every time, man, we crap out when we do that. But, you know, sisters hold brothers down and brothers hold sisters down. And we just need to communicate with each other. And God bless all of y'all, brother. And thank you once again.
Oh, for sure, man. Thank you. Not a problem. You know, I mean, God's always in it. Don't get it twisted, folks. You all have me and me say what I say, but God is always in it. However, we got to do for ourselves. We got to get up, get out, and get something. You know what I'm saying? In the words of Goody Mob, we got to get out, and do something. So get off your ass, get off your knees, and start doing something. As I said earlier, you know, we've been praying for over 500 years. That shit ain't working. It's time to do something different. It's time to do something different. There's nothing wrong with that. It's time to do something different. So, Cuzzo, you got any last words?
Love your kids, man. I put a post on Facebook yesterday, because in light of all of this stuff, what it always brings me back to is my kids. My kids, my community's kids. You know, all the children that are impacted by our decisions, our lack of love, our lack of compassion, our lack of educating them, those are the people, you know, we can't really change the minds of people who have been ignorant and racist for decades and centuries. We can't change that overnight. But what we can do is impact or impart foundations of basic rules and of life and love and caring in our kids, to help change the future. Love your kids. Go grab it. Grab your sons. Grab your daughters. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Tell them how much you love them. Spend time with them this weekend, man. Talk to them about the things that's going on in our society, and tell them how you're going to protect them, because they're concerned just like we are. Kids are watching, man.
Family. Money. Control your damn money. Be mindful of who you spend your money with. If you don't control your money, you can't control your community, you can't control your politics, you can't control the judicial. The foundation is money. It's money. Have a good one, family. Please.
Peace.
Be safe. See you all next week.
Peace.